Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the second edition, or four edition total, of the book of Acts, chapter 10. And last week, Tara storied about Cornelius and Peter, and it was just so eye-opening with how we ended the discussion. And again, we're going to be starting talking about open doors, and also just the fact, before we start there, about how Cornelius in the second verse is a God-fearing, devout, helpful man and doesn't truly have saving faith of Jesus Christ. And Tara and I were just dialoguing about how many people in our lives right now do know the things of God, do believe in God, but don't know who Jesus is and have not accepted him truly as Lord and Savior.
Yeah. And you know, the whole point behind the angel of the Lord being sent to him is because there was another step. See, when a door opens from heaven, I mean, essentially that's what it is an angel of God appeared to him because, one, the entire Gentile nation needed Jesus, okay? So it goes beyond just Cornelius. And what blows my mind about it is that oftentimes what can happen, we have our belief systems and we get so set in our beliefs that when a door is opened to us, we may not be willing to walk through that door. Okay. And some examples of how that door can be closed is somebody saying, well, I believe my God would never, or I believe that my God would do this. Those are some examples of how somebody shuts the door on God. But Cornelius, on the day that he was sitting at the place of prayer about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he was sitting there praying, and then these men he describes as shining white light on them. This man appears before him and says, God's heard your prayer, and he considers it a memorial, and because he has recognized that he is a devout man, he sees that. He's listening to him.
He hears all our prayers.
He's going to make sure that he gets what he's seeking. Because there's a promise in James that says if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us in James 4:8. And what hit me was that Cornelius was sitting there, and Sabrina, read verse 4. God says in verse 3, he says he distinctly saw an angel of God who said to him, Cornelius. Read verse 4 what it says he says.
It says, what is it? Well, Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked.
Okay. All right. Did you recognize? He says, what is it, Lord? He recognizes that it's a master. Now, do you remember when we studied last month, when we were talking about Saul, Saul recognized that when Jesus spoke to him, that there was authority there and that it was a master. He just didn't know him yet as Lord. And it's the same thing here. He recognizes him, the voice that's speaking to him, this is a person he needs to submit to. Okay, he gets it. And when he says, what is it, Lord? He recognizes that the door has been opened. Okay?
It's what just like Revelation when it says all, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Because we all know, even the rocks cry out, we all know it's yet if we're surrendered.
Completely. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, he was praying, he was seeking, and then finally he gets this vision, the angel's there, and he's like, what is it, Lord? So as the door has opened, instead of shutting the door and saying, no, my God would, or my God wouldn't appear to me that way, or my God,
doubt
and okay, distractions, whatever it may be, deceitful lies that come in, he says, what is it, Lord? And it occurred to me, he recognizes that the door, there's a knocking at the door, he's opening, yes, come in, and then he listens. The angel of the Lord speaks to him and says to him, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back the man named Simon, who is called Peter. He listens to what he's told to do.
Obedience.
The obedience follows. How quickly did he obey?
Right away.
Let's see. It says, when the angel spoke to him in verse 7 and had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that happened and sent them to Joppa. I mean, it was instant.
Yeah.
There was no delay.
Right.
There was no delay. Now, that response is huge. Because I think what happens to people is that we can have a door open to us, and then we will begin to place before that door barriers that we will put up that we won't allow ourselves to walk through that door. And you know, when I was in, well, not just in Brazil, but in Russia and Guatemala, I mean, Paraguay, on mission trips, one of the things that they constantly talk to us about is that there are certain cultural customs that you need to abide by. And when a cultural custom is presented, you need to know what the custom is, because you can cause a great mm-hmm. offense if you do not abide by the cultural custom. And I was surprised, after going to all these different nations on mission trips, there are different cultural customs related to how you enter a home through a door. I never would have realized how significant this is. When we were in Brazil, Paraguay, and Argentina, typically the home, the abode, was built with a concrete cinder block around the setting of the property. So every property had a concrete wall that divided where that residence was. Within that, they might have their land, they might have their home, depending on their wealth. The extremely wealthy, the walls and the gates are ornate and gorgeous with, you know, mosaics and things like that. In the favelas, what they have done is they've gone and taken the broken cinder blocks and the mud things that they use to build, and they build their walls around their space with broken pieces of what's left over. And but none of them have a door that you could go up and go knock, knock, knock. In North America, you knock on the door, ring the doorbell. Well, we go up to our first home to essentially share Christ door to door is what we're doing. They drop us off. We drove and they drop us off in this village. And the first village I was in, I'd probably say would fall in the category of lower middle class. It wasn't the poverty level and it wasn't the wealthy level, but it wasn't middle class yet. And there's this gate and concrete wall, and the house was kind of set back like by 60 feet. I'm thinking, how are they going to know we're here? There's no doorbell or anything. And my interpreter walks up and he clapped into the, and it echoes off the concrete wall so that whoever's in the home can hear it. That's how they knock. Wow. I had no idea that this was the cultural custom. It wasn't taught to us. It was just such a shock. I'm like, oh, that's kind of like the clap on, yeah. clap off for opening doors. And then somebody yells out the window, and then they call out, and then they determine whether or not they even want to come out to the gate to open it up for you. And I'm like, nobody's going to open their gate once they find out what we're doing. But everybody came and opened their gate. I did not have one person not open their gate and invite me into their home. And it blew my mind. Well, when I got to Russia, you know, Russia, the homes were very much like apartments or homes that, you know, we would think of here. But we were told distinctly, do not step foot into the threshold until the hand comes out to invite you in. And so that was the cultural custom. The hand had to be extended to welcome us into their home. And so we would not even attempt until the hand was extended. It'd be kind of like in America where we open the door and say, hey, come on in, y'all. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of like their etiquette. Well, when we got to Guatemala, depending on where we were at, when we were in the villages in the mountains, the homes didn't have doors. And so we would just walk up and call out and let people know. We would, you know, we're here. Is anybody home? Because they have no doors on what they were living in. And so there are different cultural customs of how to enter through a door. Mm. And what we have forgotten in Christendom, and I think as a society as a whole, is that Jesus is the open door. And we as a society are defining new ways to enter and saying that it has to be done in the way that our cultural customs say. But God's custom says that Jesus is the way. He's the door that opens up. And it's by him that we get through. And that's what Cornelius was missing. He was at the entrance. He knew that God existed. He loved God, was devoted to God, was seeking God. But he had yet not had that, how to walk through that doorstep. And so he needed that invitation to be shared through Peter. And as I thought about this, I thought the other thing that was really strange about this, and I don't know if you caught on to this, Sabrina, Cornelius was an unbeliever seeking a believer to find out how to get through the door. Mm-hmm. In all other storylines up to this point in the book of Acts, it's the other way around. It's the believer approaching the unbeliever. It's always the unbeliever approaching the unbeliever. Okay, we had Philip going to the Ethiopian eunuch. We had Ananias going to Saul. We had Peter going to the religious leaders.
So the believer going to the unbeliever.
Yeah, the believer was going to the unbeliever. Mm-hmm. And so the believer was, the responsibility was on the believer.
Right.
Okay, not the unbeliever. All of a sudden in Acts, it flips. And I think it's because this person was so hungry, so hungry for God, that God said, I see you've opened the door. Mm-hmm. I will show you where to go to get what you need so that you can make it through. Mm. And he knew that there was a man 33 miles away.
Walking.
And not only that, he had to wait for his men to get to Peter, tell him, and then turn around and come back. Can you imagine the anticipation in Cornelius waiting for Peter to show up? And we know from the scripture, it says he gathered everyone.
And his patience. Their patience back then.
It's amazing.
They didn't have things to do in between time.
We get irritated if we have to drive 33 miles.
We get irritated if we have to wait 3 extra minutes in Burger King drive-thru.
I don't go to Burger King.
Yeah. Well, anywhere. But I'm just saying, like, their patience, the character of God that he's displaying, and he hasn't really even met him yet.
I know.
Like, truly.
Yeah. It blows my mind. And so I was asking the question, why did the order switch? Why did God switch the order all of a sudden on this cultural custom? I mean, because what we've seen is the norm is it's always the responsibility of the believer. And I started thinking about it. It's like, all right, remember how we were talking about that the church was dealing with a time of major conflict?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's all.
But after Saul comes to know the Lord, the very last thing we learn in Acts 9 is that there is a time of peace that settles upon the church, the body. There's a time of peace. There's no conflict going on. Okay? And as I was thinking about the fact that the conflict wasn't happening on the outside, the time of peace was happening. They're dealing with internal conflict. Okay, what's the internal conflict?
Not having a saving grace.
Well, Cornelius isn't a part of the church. What's Peter's conflict? What's Peter struggling with? Because this isn't just about Cornelius's open door. There is an open door that has to happen in Peter's life as well. Now, let's think about what was the vision that God gave him? Do you remember what happened?
For Peter?
Uh-huh. What was happening while he was sitting on the roof? This is huge, huge, huge. Do you remember?
He saw the animals.
Yeah, what were they in? Just a big white sheet.
Yeah.
And where were they coming from?
They were unclean. Well.
Yeah.
Okay. They were coming from all parts of the earth.
From heaven. Oh, this white sheet of unclean animals was falling down from heaven towards him. And the voice says, eat, kill, just get up, kill, and eat. And Peter says, no. No way, Lord, I'm not going to take nothing unclean's ever come to my lips. Okay, a lot of times when people look at this passage, they look at it separately from Cornelius. And they'll immediately go into about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat and regulations about diet. But honestly and truly, what happened was that Peter needed to get rid of some stuff that was inside him that he could not be used for the fullness of the kingdom of God until this was shed.
Some pride and
prejudice against Gentiles. Get up and eat. No, I will not have anything to do with anything that's unclean. A Gentile was considered unclean.
Oh.
And what was the first thing he did to the three Gentiles that were at his doorstep was invite them in to eat at his table. That did not happen culturally. He had to get past the cultural barriers that his society, his tradition had taught him that you do not
hang with or eat with
Gentiles. Now, remember, he's staying with Simon the Tanner. And I had alluded to this before, and I want to reiterate it again. The tradition against a tanner was so strong because a Jewish person was not allowed to touch a dead animal at all, none. And yet Peter was staying in the house with a tanner. I mean, you're talking, this man has been in contact with dead animals. That in of itself is telling us that barriers are being broken, okay? Their society had such strong rules against tanners that if a person was betrothed to a person, and during their betrothal, which a betrothal, in order to break a betrothal, it was a divorce.
Okay. So betrothed means you're engaged.
Right. Okay. In order to break that, you had to get a divorce. It was serious business. If the person was a tanner and you didn't find out until after you were betrothed, you could walk away without having to get a divorce. That's how strong their society rules were against tanners. And so he's staying at a tanner's house and he's got Gentiles showing up.
And just
God is shedding in him his prejudices. All the prejudices that he has inside him. Mm-hmm. Everything that he's got that is separating him from God. Because in order for the Gentile nation to really receive Christ, that meant that the men that were going out, they could not have barriers in their hearts against them. It was huge. So it wasn't just an open door for Cornelius. The reason why it had to be Peter 33 miles away was because Peter needed things taken care of in his heart in order for him to fully grasp what he was called to do within the kingdom of God.
And, okay, that's pretty heavy.
It is.
Like all of it. Okay.
Do you have any questions? Do you want to wait until next time?
No, we're going to wait till next time because I'm going to open up a whole nother door.
That's so funny. You know, we're at like 8 seconds left. And so we're so glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. You've got to come back because we're going to solve this with Peter and Cornelius. God bless.